Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe, your host, and today we have something special. Usually I save these few minute riffs for just a little nugget of truth that, you know, something I've been thinking about, but I have brought on a guest. Today we have Mike Bundrant joining us again. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Laura. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I am so excited. Mike, I have to admit, is not just somebody I've had on the podcast. He is now become my mentor. I've joined the INLP Center for another coaching certification. I'm having so much fun. If you're a coach out there looking to take your coaching to the next level, it's just awesome. So anyways, thank you, Mike, for being so helpful and insightful over these last few months.
You bet. It's my pleasure. It's an honor to work with you, Laura.
Okay. So one topic that I am obsessed with is people come to me and they say to me, I want to change my career, right? Because I made this big career change. I want to change my life. I'm not happy. I can't figure it out. I have a nagging sensation. There's something more. And, you know, they want to talk to me about something inauthentic going on or what they want to change. And I've really gotten obsessed with this idea of micro truths, that it's really not the best idea to start with these macro questions of your whole life, but to start to practice living your truth on a day-to-day basis, hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute, right? And one of the things that I really suggest is, can you even tell the truth when your friend says, I want pizza, and in fact, you don't want pizza, you would like spaghetti or
something else, salad,
but you cave and you don't want to tell them and you fear all sorts of things. So I was chatting about this with Mike. Mike has 20 years of experience. He runs the coaching center. He came on the show, if you haven't checked out the episode in February, to like deep dive into his school of thought. But he had a very specific stance on this that I thought was super cool. So Mike, we're talking about, right, a classic situation that happens all day long to us. You're faced with somebody suggesting something. You're in the people-pleasing mode. You don't want to ruffle the feathers, and you don't speak your truth. What's going on there?
Well, people-pleasing is a fascinating one, because usually what's really happening in people-pleasing is the opposite of what we think is happening. In other words, I'm trying to avoid something when I'm people-pleasing, but the way that I'm trying to avoid it is, well, in fact, it's too late. By the time I'm trying to avoid it, it's already happened. So with people-pleasing, most of us are trying to avoid, you know, rejection, being perceived as difficult. If you say, Mike, what do you want for lunch? And I really want whatever. I really want a nice fresh salad or to go somewhere specific. But then I go, you know what? I'm easygoing. Whatever you want. I'm good. I'm down for anything. I'm people pleasing. I don't want to tell you what I really want because I'm afraid that you're going to basically reject me. You're going to see me as difficult. You're going to see me as selfish or inconsiderate or rigid, whatever the case may be. So I'm trying to avoid that rejection. And the irony is, by the time I am trying to avoid that, it's already happened within myself. It's too late. In fact, the reason I'm trying to avoid it is because it's already happened.
Right. So this is what I thought was so cool, right? Like just pausing there, because that's deep. Like we're like taking this to a whole new level. If I'm already experiencing it, so I'm asking my friend for that pizza and I think to myself, oh, they're going to think I'm difficult. So I'm already feeling that I'm difficult in right in the moment that I'm even thinking it. So I've experienced the very thing that I claim I don't want to have happen, right? Did I get that right?
Well, yes, you've experienced it. You've anticipated it. It's gone through your mind. You've seen it. You've heard it. You've felt it. Whether you're 100% aware of that or not, you've had the experience, and oftentimes it happens very, very quickly. And so you did a course correction. It's like, I want to avoid that. And so I do a course correction and start people pleasing so that you don't reject me. But again, I've already experienced what unconsciously I've sort of been scripted to experience. And I've not even consulted you, right? And the way that I've experienced is the only way to absolutely guarantee that the only thing I'm going to experience is rejection. Because if I actually tell you I want pizza, there is a chance that you're going to go, wow, cool, that's great. I love pizza. And now I'm going to experience acceptance. But the only chance I have of experiencing that acceptance is to put it out there. And I'm not doing that. I'm actually going with the guaranteed rejection.
So somebody listening, though, is going to have a pushback, in my mind at least, that, yeah, well, wait a minute, but if I don't say it and I'm the only one experiencing that discomfort of giving up on my salad for my pizza, my friend and I, we seemingly are still getting along. I didn't lose my friendship over pizza.
No.
You've just lost yourself.
Your friend is none the wiser. Your friend has absolutely no reason to, your friend's not really involved in it. So you didn't harm your friendship in any way. And if you had said, I want pizza, and your friend didn't, and you negotiated that out and came to a compromise, that absolutely wouldn't harm your friendship either. I mean, your friendship's just never been on the line. It's the internal experience of rejection that we're really talking about here.
Yeah. Yeah. But we turn it into an external belief that it's all about that other person and how they're interacting with us. Right. And then when we outsource our power like that and we give it to somebody else, then we feel helpless in the moment. So what can somebody do when they're negotiating their pizza to salad? Right. Because this is like constant. If you're in a relationship, I mean, it's endless, right?
It's on autopilot. Yeah.
Yeah. When I think to myself, okay, I really want that salad, but I have that anxious rejection feeling starting to come up, what's the next step so I can move into this more gracefully?
Yeah, well, if you're really wanting that salad and wanting to say it and feeling the anxious rejection feeling, you're actually a few steps ahead of where most of us are. Most of us go automatically into people pleasing, not automatically. I mean, we sort of go through the rejection very, very quickly and into people pleasing. But the key, the first step is always to be aware of it. In other words, to slow things down. And even if you have to remember an interaction that just happened an hour ago and rewind to the point where you can catch yourself with the self-rejecting thoughts, which are going to be like, don't say that. That's rude, or that's selfish, or that's rigid, or he's not going to like that, or she's going to think you're crazy. In those moments where you instantly reject yourself, you've got to focus in, narrow down those moments, because if you don't, if they just continue to happen on autopilot, you're not going to be able to have a choice about those moments. But if you can slow them down and then eventually get to the place where you're catching them in the moment that they're happening, then you can begin to exercise a degree of choice, but not while it's just an unconscious script.
Totally fair. And I 100% right. Awareness, catch the narrative, pay attention that it's happening. And so now I find myself in a moment where I notice it, it's happening in the moment, but I don't know what to do. What would you suggest, like, my alternative is just to say, I mean, for me, mostly I feel like people get so wound up in those moments that then they blurt out something kind of awkward and comes out in this nervous, awkward way, right?
Yeah.
So I like to sort of pre-script a little of, you know, hey, I could have pizza, but I just was in the mood for a salad. Is that something you're open to, right? I mean, is it just as simple as that?
Well, it can be, but you bring up a really great point, which is preparing for the next moment and knowing, having an idea of what you're going to say and what you're going to do. Because if I've been people-pleasing my whole life and sort of living with this inner anticipation of rejection for a long time, then I haven't had a lot of practical experience in the real world of saying what I want and negotiating that out. So it may absolutely be awkward. And so getting some scripts of here's what I'm going to say in those moments so that you can sort of insert that script, that's really good practice. Another scenario would be, depending on the relationship, sometimes you, if it's someone that you really trust, that you know is a safe person, then you can actually begin to talk about what's going on with that person. I don't think you'd do this with a coworker. I don't think you would do this in, you know, other than, you know, a little bit deeper, trustworthy relationships. But you could start to say something like, you know, I have something that I want, or I have an opinion or a need, but I think if I say it, you're going to essentially discount it or reject me and not accept it in some way. And so, but I want to take a risk. Are you open to doing that? It's like you can actually talk about what's going on for you. And sometimes that actually is very helpful. But again, it has to be the right person. And there's a third scenario where we're so overwhelmed by it and afraid. It's like, okay, I catch it. I see it. I'm anticipating the rejection. It's all inside of me, but I'm just terrified anyways to say what I want to say. And in that case, we're dealing with an issue of it's so familiar to you, and that the empowerment that you would experience being, let's just say, true to yourself or expressive of who you are and what you want, that level of empowerment is actually scary. You don't have experience with it. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of a larger process of becoming comfortable with the additional personal power that you are gaining in the process. It's sort of like learning to tolerate that power, that success, building skills around it. And there's sort of a longer, you know, coaching process and so forth that you need to go through and get used to the idea that, you know, a lot of us are conflicted. It's like, I have this people-pleasing thing, but, you know, do I want to let it go? I don't know, right? It's the only thing I've ever known. We're actually conflicted about whether we want to let it go, right?
Absolutely. So the next step is learning how to step into your power, not diminish yourself in the face of these various things that come up in the external world. Mike, thank you so much for jumping on, recording with me, sharing the mic on a small little riff. If somebody wants to find out more about you or the NLP Center, where can they find you?
Just go to inlpcenter.org. That's our primary website.
So all of you guys out there, hopefully if you're in a moment between a salad and a pizza, having a major people-pleasing moment, I think this should add a lot of texture and value. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Hey, before you go, I have a quick question for you. Have you ever considered coaching? If you have no idea what coaching is, no worries. It's basically like a personalized workout program, but instead of doing 100 squats and a million sit-ups, you're working out your mind, your well-being, and your emotions. Coaching is about setting goals and taking action to create a life that's meaningful to you. As we navigate through life and ask ourselves the tough questions, what do I want? What makes me happy? How do I build a life that works for me? Just like we talk about on the podcast, how do I have success, but have success that's authentic and meaningful? In part, the tactics play a huge role. Setting goals, having priorities that make sense, and making sure you're organized with your lists. After running a company for 15 years, I help my clients with that all the time. But coaching takes it even further. We remove all that stuff, all those mental obstacles that get in your way when you're trying to make those tough life choices. If that sounds interesting to you, come on over to lauraco.com, click on the contact form and send me a note, or at the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a button where you can click and set up a call with me. Just like that, it's free. We'll chat, we'll find out what's going on and see if it makes sense for me to help you out. No strings attached. I hope to hear from you. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. I really value each and every one of you.